All right. I want to go over the rules of accent here and use these words as examples. We're going to take the general rules of accent, and we're going to just work on some of these. So I'll put my book over here. All right. Now, in the left-hand column here, we have verbs. Now, some of these are forms that you're just totally unfamiliar with at this point, but that will not matter for what we're going to do now. And then in the right-hand column, we have nouns. And what we're going to do is, I didn't tell you to study hard for this because I was just planning to do this, lead you in it, show you, use this as yet another occasion to work on the accent rules. So that's the reason why I chose to do it this way. So I'm going to just lead you through it, remind you of the general rules of accent, and we're going to just kind of exercise a little bit and work on it. Now, remembering that all of these are verbs and all of these are nouns, then that means that in reference to the verbs, we're going to try to take our accent and put it as far back toward the antepenult as possible, as the general rules of accent will allow. All right, does everybody understand that now? So, as far as the general rules will permit, we're going to be trying to shift it back toward the antepenult. All right, now here we have men, which is the ultima, and then the a is the penult, and the lu is the antepenult. Now this one, Brad, what we're doing here is first just drilling a little on the accenting. These are verbs on the left. These are nouns on the right. So we're remembering that the rule of verb accent means that you try to shift the accent back as far as possible to the antepenult. And so that's what we're going to work on now. All right. Also, I was showing that you've got the ultima, the penult, the antepenult, and then there's a name for this one, even though you don't usually, you know, you don't accent it. It's called a pre-ante, you know, predictably. All right, so as you look through here now, like this one has four syllables. E-lu-a-men has four syllables. E-lu-a-men has four syllables. E-lu-so, that has three syllables, you see. So now this one is a diphthong here. The u, remember the diphthong? So e-lu-u, three syllables. I'm just wanting you to get a little practice seeing the syllables. E, lu, a, men, e, lu, a, main, e, lu, so, e, lu, u, e, lu, e, lu, sa, main. So, you see that? Now, I think most of you can pretty well do that. You can see the syllables. But it's necessary to see the syllables in order to do any accenting. All right, so let's just start. Like, here we have this word, Elohim, and I'm deliberately not pronouncing it with stress at this point. So, what would we want to try to do? Put our accent, let's just go ahead and put an accent right here over the men. Because with verbs, trying to go back. So, with a verb, it's really pretty simple. Like this. You look at the ultima. What is the ultima? Short or long? It's short. If the ultima is short, then it can go all the way back to the antepenult. So, we would shift back. Eluamen. There you are. Eluamen. So this would be, now look at the difference. Eluamen. I guess the thing to do would be go ahead and put the accent mark on it as we go. So, eluamen, like that. All right, now as you look at the next one, what difference do you see in the ultima? It's a long ultima. If the ultima is long, the antepenult cannot be accented. The penult, if accented at all, must have the acute. All right, so we put an acute there. All right, now we have three syllables here. This is the antepenult. So, could we put the accent on the antipenult? Because, why?
Long.
The ultimate is long, therefore the antipenult cannot be accented. The penult, if accented at all, must have the acute. What about this situation here? L-U-U. Same thing. Same thing. Do you all see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. The diphthong, omicron upsilon, is long. So, we have L-U-U. What about the next one? The ultimate is short, therefore, we can go back here and accent like that, Elue. All right, on this next one, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 syllables. But what is the ultimate?
So long.
It's long. Therefore, we must put an acute right there. And it gets just that simple. All right, now here is didaske, a verb. The ultima is long, therefore what do we do?
Penult.
See how easy that is? So it's really like, is it long or short? Is the ultima long or is it short? And that pretty well then tells us.
There's an epsilon at the end?
Yeah, that's an epsilon. And so it's short.
Okay.
So didaske. So that would be didaske.
Okay.
Okay, and then this one is a form of that verb. Didaskantai, 1, 2, 3, 4 syllables. But the thing you need to notice, again, is when the alpha yoda diphthong is final, it is short. So that means that we can put it on the antipenult, so it would be didaskantai. All right, now this one, look, we've got the fa, the me, the ka, the das, and the di. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Syllables. So in this one, you have to know that the alpha is short. So since the alpha is short, we can put it over the antipenult. Didas cometh. Okay, so these would be eluemen, eluamen, eluso, elupu, elue, elusamen, didaske, didaskantai, didaskamitha. Okay? Now then, that's the verb, accent seeking to go as far to the left as possible, back to the antipenult. So, the main thing is to notice, is the ultima long or is it short? Now, some verbs only have two syllables. And so, that would be, I don't have any of them up here of two syllables, but you still would do the same thing. You're trying to shift it back as far as possible. All right, now let's look at the nouns. Now, in the noun, and by the way, look on page 19. Do you have page 19? You don't have this, do you? Let me put it around.
Order. Yeah. Okay.
Look around here. And these are the words right here, 1, 2, 3. Those particular ones, notice them carefully. Now, do you see what I'm talking about? Greg, do you see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's showing the vocabulary form of the words, okay? So, we have three words. We have apostolos, we have komei, and we have poion. So, those are the three. Look at the way they're accented there. 1, 2, 3, because that's your nominative singular. That's the way it's done in the nominative singular. So the rule of noun accent is that you want to try to accent it as nearly to what it is in the nominative singular as the general rules will permit. And it's kind of like working a puzzle. I really enjoy it. When you think about it like a puzzle, and you just have these rules and these parameters and you work things out. So let's do that now. All right, now say here, notice we have lois, all right, that's one syllable, ta, pas, a, pas, ta, lois. That's four syllables. Now, in the nominative singular, which of those syllables is accented? And you can consult there if you need to. All right, it's this one right here, right? Pas. So, what we would like to do, if we can, is we'd like to put the accent here, apostolos. But Greg, why can't we do that?
The P penult or the ultimate long.
Therefore, the antepenult cannot be accented. So, the rule also goes on and says, if the ultimate is long, the antepenult cannot be accented, and the penult, if accented at all, must have the acute. So, we put an acute there. All right, now then, quickly, you'll learn to do this. That next form, what's the situation there? Identical. What about the third one? See that? All right, so very quickly you can begin to say, oh yeah, same thing, okay, same thing there. But then look at the next one. Apostoloi. What do you have here? Short, because of that final diphthong. Now remember that only I and oi will be final, will be short if final. The other diphthongs are long, final or otherwise. But these two are long, the I and the oi, unless they are final, with not even a sigma after it. And that means this is short, therefore it's exactly the same as apostolos. See, all you have to do is say, okay, in this one we have the situation in the nominative singular recreated so far as the ultima is concerned. Since this is short, then we can go back here and put the accent back where it was in the nominative singular. All right, take this next one now. Again, we have four syllables. Now, this one with the iota subscript, which is... this is the dative case, and so that's a characteristic of the dative. But that means that this is still long. The iota subscript does not change that. So this is still long. Well, since this is long, then what change does that make in the accenting? That's right. So, again, here we go. All right, now then, tell me about that next, the next word. Where does it have the accent?
Penult.
All right, and it has
an
acute.
It does.
All right, it has an acute, right? Okay. Now, we want to just take our time and figure this out. Now, that word kome. Take the word kome as you look at it right there. The ultima is long. Therefore, the antepenult cannot be accented, but it doesn't have an antepenult anyhow. And the penult, if accented at all, must have the acute. And so you see the word fits that general rule. All right, so here we take that word, and we're going to try to put the accent over the ko. So what about the situation here? And it's the same. It's the same situation, accent-wise, as in the nominative singular. So what have we put over the omega?
Great.
Not great.
Acute, I'm sorry. Pardon.
That's right, the acute. So here we have the acute. All right, now take the next one. Look at the next one. What's the situation? What's the change there?
Sure was not.
Therefore, what are we going to put over the omega?
Circumflex.
That's exactly right. We're going to put a circumflex over that. All right, now look in your book there. In the exercises at Comas, and it will give you a note about the A there. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what does it say about
it's
that?
Long. It says it's long.
I see. It's telling us that A is long. All right, so here, the alpha is long. Therefore, what are we going to have over the omega? Acute. Because you have the situation recreated that you have in the nominative singular. All right, now the next word, ploion. Look at that one in your book, ploion. P-L-O-I-O-N. What do you have over the omicron iota?
Circumflex.
Because the ultima in that is short. If the long penult, if accented at all, must have the circumflex. All right, are you with me now on that? All right. So, what does it say? Now look by ploia in the exercises there. What does it say about that A?
Short.
All right, if this A is short here, then what do we have over the omicron iota?
Circumflex.
All right, then, ploion. What about the on?
Oh.
Therefore, we have the acute. We have ploios. What about the oi there? It's long, because, see, it's not final. Therefore, what do we have? You keep the acute. And this thing is almost out, but that's all right.
Now, when you're accenting a diphthong, do you put the accent over the final letter or
yes, over the second letter? Okay. Over the second letter. Right. Okay, so I didn't tell you to work on this because I just thought we'd do it in class. But this is just an exercise to kind of go through it. I'm going to do some more of that. But let me see. I'm going to need to use that book now. All right, so what we worked on last time, I talked to you about verbs. So this next lesson, the one that you did the exercises on, is lesson 3. And it is the verb, present active indicative. Present means the present tense. Active has reference to the voice, whether it's the subject is doing the action or whether the subject is being acted upon, whether it's active or passive, okay? So this is active, present active. An indicative has to do with the nature of the statement. Is it an interrogative? Is it a command, an imperative, or is it just a statement? Indicative. Present active indicative. We have these 8 verbs, blepo, gnosko, grapho, didasko, lambano, lego, luo, and echo. All right, now I want to let you try that. I want you to look at those verbs, and somebody volunteer to read those for me. Just pronounce them. Who wants to do that? We got to have some drill. That's the only way you can do it. All right, try.
Blepo, gnosko, grapho, didasko, lambano, lego, luo, echo.
Excellent. Very good. All right, let's try it. Let's try it, someone else.
Blepo, gnosko, grapho, didasko, lambano, lego, luo, echo.
Excellent. Right on the mark. All right, so blepo, gnosko, grapho, didasko, lambano, lego, luo, and echo. Now, in the exercises in the back, let's just go on back there to those exercises, and we're going to work on that. And this is going to get to be really a lot of fun on these exercises. These are very, very simple. And it'll get more complex as time goes along. That's when it gets more fun.
For you.
Yeah, because I love to hear you do great. All right, so on the exercises, the first one is the Greek to English, so we'll do those first, all right? So, number one, we have 3 words there. So, we need to read those, and then we need to translate them. So, Greg, would you read number one, the 3 verbs that are there?
Blepes, gnoskes, lambanes.
That's excellent. So, blepes, gnoskes, lambanes. And notice the ending is the same on all 3. So when you're doing exercises, that kind of helps to notice, you know, whatever the ending is, it's the same. And so once you get the ace ending, all right, that's going to be thou. Thou. So whatever the action is, it's going to be thou. Whatever the action is. So blepes would be what?
Thou seest.
Thou seest. And gnoskes?
Thou knowest.
Thou knowest. And lambanes?
Thou takest.
Or thou receivest. Either one. All right, notice.
And that's second person singular.
Yes, right? Second person singular. That's right. All right, number 2. All right, Jeff, you want to do that one?
Graphe, eke, lege.
All right, now try graphe one more time.
Graphe?
That's right.
Graphe.
Yeah. What you almost did was say graphe, with the accent on the fe.
Graphe.
Graphe.
That's right. Eke. Lege.
That's correct. All right, now then, what do those mean?
Well, this is third person singular.
Third person singular.
So, graphe is he writes,
mm-hmm.
he has,
mm-hmm.
and he says.
That's right. And remember, you can also translate all of these in the durative. Like you can say on the first set, thou art seeing, thou art knowing, thou art receiving, or thou art taking. Number two, you can say he is writing, or it could be she, or it could be it. Is writing, he, she, or it is having, he, she, or it is saying. So just bear that in mind. All right, number three, Greg, do you feel up to reading the verbs under number three?
Absolutely. Lue, didaske, blepe.
Okay.
And again, we're in the third person.
Third scene. Person.
So that would be he, she, or it is seeing, is destroying or losing,
mm-hmm.
is teaching, and is seeing.
Okay. All right, very good. All right, number four. Okay, other Greg. Greg Nix, do you feel comfortable with trying the four? Number four of those three verbs there?
I don't know where you are. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's page 22. Page 22, down under exercises, and number four, where it has the three verbs there.
The other Greg.
All right. Okay. Okay. Now, Trevor, you don't have a book yet, right?
Let me try.
All right. Try it. See if you can do number four.
Number four. Okay, I'm going to have to ask Greg's question. Where exactly are we, since I wasn't looking at the book?
I'm sorry. Right. Number four under that section.
And Bonoman?
Mm-hmm.
Echoman?
Mm-hmm.
Gnoskomen?
Yes, that's right. And so Lombonomen, and make it, be careful not to say Lombonomen. Don't put too much of an O on that. You know, it needs to be a Lombonomen, Echomen, Gnoskomen. But that was good. So that ending is, which ending is that? First, second, or third singular, or first, second, or third plural? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
First
plural.
First
it
plural.
Is the plural. First person plural. So what would it mean, lambanamen?
We are taking.
We are taking. We are receiving. Ekamen.
We have.
We have. And gnoskamen.
We know.
We know. That's right. We know. All right, number five. David, you want to try that one?
Legate. Legate.
Okay. Now, make it so it's not quite A on end, but E. Blepete. Not blepete. Okay? Blepete, legete, graphete. Okay? All right, that's good. Now, what do those mean?
You see, you say, and you write.
That's very good. That's great. All right, number six. Now, Brad, are you able to do? You think you can do these?
I can give a shot.
All right. Let's see. Number six, right there.
Okay. Number six. Didaskusi. Lambanusi. Lucy.
Okay.
Lucy.
Yeah, very good. Very good. All right, now then, that's good. Good reading. Now then, tell us what they mean.
They teach, mm-hmm. they take or receive, and they. I forget that. They destroy or lose.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Now, see, this is essential. I've got to check you, I've got to check out and make sure that you can do this. So this is so it's intensifying. We've got to do more and more of this. So as time goes along, we may change our format just a little bit, and we may all kind of get closer together and sit down and may even get a table out, depending on how many we have. All right, so number seven, all right. Number seven. All right, Jeff, you want to do seven?
Okay, these are three different. They're not of the same.
That's right.
Tense. Gnoskete, which is second person plural, which means they know. No.
It is second person plural.
Ye. Ye. I'm sorry. Ye. I wrote down the wrong word.
Okay.
Ye know. I'm okay. Sorry. Genoskes, which is second person singular. Thou knowest. Genoskomen, which is first person plural. We know.
That's right. We know. All right. Let's go with eight, Greg.
Blepomen. Didaskosi. Lege.
All right.
Okay. Blepomen would be we see, we are seeing. Didaskosi, they are teaching. And lege, he, she, or it is saying.
Okay. All right. Then number nine, David.
Eke.
What now?
Ekes.
Ekes, okay.
Blepomen. Lambonmen.
Very good. What does it mean, Ekes?
Thou have.
Or thou hast.
Has. Thou sees. Or sees.
Who sees?
They.
They see. And Lambonmen.
We're taking.
All right. We take or we are taking. We receive. We are receiving. All right. Now then. Now, please, this is where the mud begins to get just a wee bit sticky. And this is where I wish we had everybody here tonight because this is where the mud really gets sticky. Yes.
Before we go any further, just to clarify, when you are translating from the Greek to English.
Yes.
Is there a preference of either saying we take or we are taking?
Not in exercises such as this.
But as those would, I don't know how much translating they did back in the first century, but I mean that's obviously they didn't do it like we're doing it today. But would there be any preference among those who were familiar with the Greek language?
Well, what you'd have to do is look at the context of the Greek.
Okay.
And if translating it into English, make a call as to whether you believe the context requires to be as a durative, emphasizing the durative, or not.
Okay. So, as usual, context always rules.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
That's true. All right, now this next part is the English to Greek. And let me see if I can just erase some of this, and we will... Just give me just a minute to erase some of this. And while you kind of look it over. Now, in translating, after a while, you will develop facility at it so that you can just pretty well do it on the fly. But I have found that it's good as you're translating to think, first of all, what basic word am I going to need here? And once you get the basic word in mind, then put your endings on it. All right? So, for example, Roman numeral 2, we are knowing. Now, to translate that, you have to know that we are knowing could be we know. Okay? So, we're going to need the word. First of all, what is the word for know?
Gnosko.
That's right. Gnosko. So then we have to say, okay, so what would the, what, this is it singular or plural?
Plural.
It's plural. And what person is it?
First.
First person. So, and what is the word for no?
Gnosko.
So what would be the, first person plural?
Gnoskomen.
Gnoskomen. So, gnoskamen. All right, what about we see?
Blepomen.
Blepomen. And we are seeing?
Blepomen.
Same thing, blepomen. So, you have gnoskamen, blepomen, and blepomen. All right, number two. Let's try that one. So you're looking for the idea of loosing or destroying. Now, Greg Nix, do you have that word there? Do you see that word? What's the word for loose or destroy?
Is it luo?
Yes, it is luo. So then you have to say, okay, they are loosing. Now, Brad, what person and number is that?
It's a third person plural, so that'd be loosing.
Okay, that's right, loosing. All right, what about they loose?
Loose.
Same thing, same thing. He looses.
Lue.
Lue. Third person singular. Lue. All right. Number three. All right, Greg, you want to do this one?
Sure.
Greg Steele.
Mm-hmm. Lue. You have would be second person plural, so it would be ekete.
That's right.
Thou knowest would be... second person singular, so it would be gnoskes.
That's right. Very good. So number three there, loosing is from the idea of luo. Third person singular is he is. He is loosing. So lue. Ye have, second person plural, so from the verb echo, so it's ekete. And then thou knowest, second person singular, from gnosko, which is gnoskes. And then number four, okay, David. Number four.
Well, I don't know that I'm taking, but I know the second.
Okay. Third one. Okay, that's fine. And let me tell you something now. Think about this, because it's one that you do know. I'm sure you do know. But suppose we put it this way. Instead of saying, I am taking, we just say, I take. If it were, I take, what would it be? What's the word for taking or receiving?
That's the part I don't remember.
Okay, then I can't help you with that much. All right, what is the word for take or receive?
Lambano.
Lambano. So I am taking, as a matter of fact, would be? Lambano. First person, singular. That's right, lambano. Okay. Jeff, what about we know?
We know is first person, plural. So it's gnoskamen.
All right, and then they say?
They say is third person, plural. That would be legusi.
All right.
Legusi. No, I'm not. That's right, too.
Somebody bail me out. Legusi.
Legusi.
That's right. Legusi. But it's like I've said, that's a hard thing. You know, it's a hard thing. And you just have to kind of develop a sense for it. So legusi. Legusi. All right, number five. All right, I'll let you do that one again. That's the last one right down there. Okay. You just read the English and then your translation.
All right, he has... Yeah, I don't have my words down. I have to keep referencing back. That would be Eche.
Mm-hmm.
We are writing, or we write, that's Grafman.
Mm-hmm.
And they see... That's third person plural, and so it's blepacy.
That's right. All right, that guy. Okay. Now, try to make sure that you've all got a book. This is going to become absolutely essential, especially in this next lesson. All right. Now then, the next thing we need to do is we need to study I'm going to go over the next lesson with you about the nouns. And it's when you begin to have verbs and nouns that you can put sentences together. And it's surprising how good, even complex sentences you can put together. And so the exercises at the end of this very next lesson will start involving some interesting sentences. In other words, you will feel that you are reading Greek and you will be writing some Greek. So it gets to be kind of exciting when you begin to have some verbs and nouns that you can put together. All right, now, with verbs, you can make a sentence, but you can't have an object. You can say, I write, but you can't say what you're writing. Okay? You have to have nouns. And so now we're going to be looking at nouns. Now, I told you before that when you're talking about inflection is the change you make to a word to indicate the way it's used in a sentence. Inflection in verbs is called conjugation. Inflection in nouns and adjectives is called declension. And you might say, well, why is that? Well, because it is. In other words, we can't go in here and change everything. We just go in here and learn the language and their words and so on. And so that's, you just do it. So that's why you have up here the second declension. There are three declensions of nouns in Greek. Three declensions of nouns. The second one is the easiest one. And most of them will end with os in the nominative singular. The neuter ones will end in on, omicron nu. And that'll be the dead giveaway in most cases that they are neuter. All right, so the neuter will have to do with, if you're going to use an adjective with it, you have to use the same gender. If you're going to use, now, we're not going to be in the adjectives yet, so you won't have to worry about that right now. But I am telling you that you have to observe the gender, the number, and the case. You have a modifier with a noun, then it has to match it in gender and number and case. Okay? Now, I've also told you already that in English we have hardly any semblance left of declension. The distinction between singular and plural, he and they. He, third person singular, they, third person plural. Or I, we. Not only I've got I and he, I is first person. So you've got some declension there. The plural between man and men and so on. But very little declension that's left in English. But this is a very big thing in learning other languages. And what's going to be really exciting to me, and I'll just say fascinating, interesting to me, is to see how quickly you seem to show a knack. I want to see who kind of has a knack for putting this stuff together real quick. It's good exercise for your mind. All right, let's look here at the vocabulary and look at these nouns. This is the second declension. All right, I'm going to read these, and you notice very carefully. Let's see, Brad, I sure wish there was one. Well, could you get over there by Jeff and look on with him? I think it will really help you if you are able to look on. I don't see how you can do it without it.
Thank you.
All right, so here are the words autophos, anthropos, apostolos, doulos, doron, thanatos, chiron, kai, logos, nomos, oikos, weos. Now the stress is very important. I got it right. So that's the way you need to do it. So, in other words, I didn't just throw that out. That's the way it is. So be sure that you work to get that stress right. So the first, autophos, with the accent on the ultimate, autophos. And of course, I'm going to tell you a few things about these words. Some of them you will immediately know some things about, but now the autophos, brother, this is the last part of Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. To me, associations like that help to fix the words in mind. So, autophos, and then if you put the feminine ending, autophe, you could guess what that might be.
Sister.
All right, anthropos, this is man generally. This is the generic man. Aner is the specific male or husband man, aner, which we won't worry about right now. That is not a second declension noun. But anthropos is the generic human being, okay? So this could be used of a woman as well as a man when it's just talking about humanity. Just like we talk about a human being, or we talk about a man, and we use it in a general way sometimes, and so that'd be the term here. And so from this we get anthropoid, anthropological, and so on. Apostolos. And apostolos, you may have heard, comes from two words like apa and the stalos, to be the idea of sent from, as to be sent on a mission, apostolos. But one of the things that you want to guard against is the idea that if you know the etymology of a word, then that tells you what the word means. The etymology does not by any means tell you what the word means. It may give you some insight, it may give you some help, but you cannot say the etymology is, and in other words, if you take the word apart and see what its parts meant, and then you put them together, now you know what the word means? No, it does not, that does not follow. It doesn't work out that way. Now, in a logical world where everything is perfect, it would be that way. But the way human beings do language, no, it is not. Context is what you're going to need to go by, and not primarily etymology. I think sometimes etymology is significant, and it can help in maybe illuminating a word. It's an interesting thing. I love etymology, but even in English, etymology, you just wouldn't believe the changes that have been made in the English words we use today, realizing how differently those words were used years ago. So it's interesting to notice the etymology, but I'm just saying that in your study of the text, don't count on etymology as being the final word, the final source of your information about what a word means. All right, doulos. Doulos, now this means a slave or a bondservant. Now, the word diakonos is often found in the New Testament in the sense of a servant, an assistant. Now, for example, at a lady's shower, the ladies that come to help out, they would be called the word diakonos. It would be feminine, but you'd use that word. But this refers to a slave that was bought with money and therefore belonged to someone. And when you're talking about a servant of Jesus Christ, in most translations when it says Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, it is this word doulos, and in some translations it would be a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a slave of Jesus Christ, meaning I have been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. Dorum, the idea of a gift. Dorum. Thanatos. Of course, you remember William Cullen Bryan, Thanatopsis, that very beautiful old poem about death, and it's related here to Thanatos, death. Hieron, the idea of a temple, and Hieron is a more general word for temple. Naos is a more particular word for temple. This would refer to the temple enclosure, the temple area. Yeah.
So I have a question. Hebron. It looks like it would be Hebron.
Well, it really is, except you don't break it. So you don't have a glottal stop in there. You say Hebron.
Hebron. Okay, got
it. There is a term for one of the languages, one of the alphabets of Egyptian that is related to this word, meaning that it was used in fact, hieroglyphics, the higher there is from Hieron, temple inscriptions, Chi, and, oh boy, this is common, Chi. And it means even, it can mean also, it can mean and, it means both and when you use two of them. So it's a very versatile word. And again, in many cases, you're using context to let you know. But usually it's pretty clear whether it's also or and. I think that a bigger question is whether it's also or even. You know, like even I can do that or something like that. Sometimes it's used in that sense. So also or even or and. And then with two chi's, it can be both and. So this is a very, very common conjunction. And remember that a conjunction is a word that joins verbs or joins adjectives or joins other words. Logos. Now please do not say logos. A lot of people, scholars and so on, might talk about logos. But if they're talking about the logos, they're talking about a principle that's mentioned in philosophical writings, even like the writings of Philo and others like that, logos, as a kind of a semi-intelligent principle of some kind. But when you're talking about the Greek word, it is logos. So be sure that you note that, logos. Nomos, and we have that word in some forms, and oikos, that's a fairly common one. That's a real common one. And it's seen in some combinations, but in English, I don't think of any offhand, but that doesn't mean there aren't any. And then huios. And this very common word is an example of the rare diphthong hui. So it's rare in other appearances, but since you have huios pretty often in the New Testament, then you're going to have hui there anyhow, even though it's rare in other places. All right. Now, in English, we have a the and we have an a or an, so that we can nail down whether we're talking about a man or the man. In Greek, they did not have an indefinite article. They had a definite article. So if you just saw octopus, you would assume it is an a man. Now, in the book here, he says some things that you can read, like in that second paragraph. Let me see. Let me just read that paragraph because it will make the point that I'm wanting you to see. The second sentence, Greek has, however, a definite article, and where the Greek article does not appear, the definite article should not be inserted in the English translation. Thus, autophos does not mean the brother. Now, although that is a general rule, it is not a rule without exception, because there are times that there are other things around that word that will show it is a particular one. And in that case, in English, you might very well have the. Okay? So I just want you to be aware of that. Sometimes you can have something else identifying that term as a particular one, and then you might have the in your English translation. And sometimes you're going to have the in the Greek, and you don't translate it into English. You might have, like, the death, when it wouldn't be talking about anybody's death. It's just talking about death as a principle. So in English, we would just say death. Okay? Remember that a lot of this would be more important if you were going to be composing Greek. But you're not going to be doing much composing Greek. You're just aiming toward being able to learn to read Greek. And so a lot of that you won't have to worry about. Okay. The genders, masculine, feminine, and neuter. And most of the time, it has nothing to do with whether it's male or female. And that's true in so many languages. The feminine, same thing. Neuter, it doesn't necessarily indicate anything about male or female, or the lack thereof. So you just have to learn what gender it is. And notice back up in the vocabulary. Do you see after each noun you have the article? That article is to show you what gender that is. And that's necessary because sometimes you see a word and it has an os on the end and you think it's masculine, but there are a very, very few exceptions to that. And so when you have that article, ha, you see the omicron with a rough breathing. That is your absolutely clear, unmistakable indication this is masculine. So as you look down through there, pick out the one that is not ha. All right, and that applies to which word?
Doron,
and which other one?
Hieron.
All right. And notice it's Doron and Hieron.
Yeah.
That's right. Now the ta is the neuter article and is indicating that that is a neuter noun. So the article will appear by it in the vocabulary to let you know for sure what gender it is. And like he says, the gender must be learned by observation. But that's not. It won't be hard. You won't find a big problem with that. Okay, now look on page 24. Singular and plural. That's not hard. We know about that. But the cases. The cases. Now that's a case where... It's a little joke of mine. The English, we use case in so many different ways. Brand name for knives, You know, who all knows? Who knows what all different ways? But the case has to do with the way this noun is used. Nominative means it is used in as the subject. It's the subject. And you can see anthropos, anthropou, anthropo, anthropon, anthrope, and it's illustrating, it's showing nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, and vocative. All right, now let me explain those. Nominative means the subject. That's the one you'd use when you're going to be talking about who's doing it, whatever. The one performing the action, that's the subject. You want the nominative, meaning the nominative ending. Okay? The genitive is it's used in different ways. One of the most common uses of the genitive is to indicate possession. Now, in English, the apostrophe S, throw it out. So far as Greek is concerned, throw it out. You have to construct it in the genitive case. You have to make it the house of a man rather than a man's house. Okay? The house of a man rather than a man's house. We would, if you saw the expression, a man's house, you would have to, in your mind, say, now I'm going to be talking about house of a man. So you have to swap it around. And that's part of translation. Okay, genitive. Genitive also is used in the idea of something coming from that. A source coming from that. And dative is to, or for, or by, or even with. It can mean look at the dative singular there, of anthropos, anthropo, to or for a man. It can even be used in the sense of by someone. A thing is done by someone. It can even be used in that way, and when it is, it's called instrumental. Instrumental. And, I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? If it's done by him, then it means he was the instrument. So instrumental, the dative case. The accusative is receiving the action. It is the direct object. Okay? It's the direct object. So the nominative would be the man who's doing the hitting. The accusative would be the man who is being hit. Hitting. How about that? Who is being hit. All right, now the vocative. This is real interesting because vocative is when you're calling. You're calling something like if I said, now if I just called your name, that'd be one thing. But now suppose I said, man, then that would be a vocative. In English, we don't make any difference in the form, but in Greek, you would say, anthrope. I wouldn't say anthropos. I'd say anthrope. Now what's amusing to me is that you can even take, look at page 26. You see Doron? Doron. And what does Doron mean? You can look there and see. It means a gift. And do you see the nominative and the vocative are the same? And what's amusing to me is it'll be rare that you have occasion to address a gift. Gift, I sure do like you. So there are a lot of words that, yeah, they have a vocative, but I doubt if you'd ever use it. You know, tree might have a vocative, but I doubt if you'd ever use it. You know,
well, the Al Gordon would.
Yeah, yeah. It'd have to be something like that. Okay. Now, when he
would you repeat what you said a moment ago about the accusative? It receives.
Yeah,
the
it receives the action. Okay. It is the object of the action. Yeah, that's right.
Dative is also indirect object. Do they do they have the same kind of indirect object constructs as we do, where we might leave out the two or the?
Well, the difference is that sometimes, like if you were saying something to a man, you might use an actual preposition in Greek.
Okay.
But technically, the dative would correspond to indirect address in English. But you wouldn't necessarily do it the same way in Greek. All right. Now, if you will read carefully, he will go over the things that I just did, you know, about the purpose of the various cases. And just notice that, like on anthropos there, notice that in the plural...
Where are you, Bob? What page?
On page 24.
Okay.
Anthropos. Notice that in the plural... the nominative and the vocative are put together. So it's the same form, anthropoi. So I just want you to be aware that whereas in the left-hand column, nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, vocative, because they're all different, they're all individual. But in the plural, he combines them. And I just want you to be aware of that. Alright, now, our time is really about up, right? Got 5 minutes? Okay. Alright, let me show you something here. I want you to work on your sentences. And I don't want to go too fast with this. We have this Thursday night, the next Thursday night, and the next Thursday night. And that'll be the rest of this six. Okay? Understand? Alright, so I want to spend just a few moments now looking at these sentences here at the bottom of page 27. By the way, movable new number 44, don't worry about that. Just absolutely, there's no need to even read that paragraph. Don't worry about it. How about that? Make you feel good. You can read it if you want to, but it doesn't make any, it's really no difference. I wouldn't worry about it. All right, so on the exercises there, here is our first Greek sentence with subject, verb, and object. All right? Now look if you need to, and you probably will. Autophos. What's that?
A brother.
A brother, blepe.
He sees.
Is seeing, except now see, then, now we're going to start, instead of saying a brother he sees, we're going to say a brother is seeing. Okay? Autophos, blepe, ansipon. So, a brother is seeing
a man.
Alright? So, autophos, blepe, ansipon. Now, as you read that, think it in your mind so that you put expression into it. Alright, the second one.
Would it be also fair to say a brother sees a man
yes.
or is seeing?
Yes, it sees or is seeing. Okay. Just your preference in translation. Alright, number two, we have doulos, graphe, logos. Doulos, graphe, logos. All right, let's try that one out.
A servant.
Is writing.
Words.
That's right. And so what you need to do is go back over there and learn the endings of your nouns well. Os, u, o, an, e. Oi, on, ois, us. And once you get those learned, then you just stick them on the end of your other second declension nouns. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not going to go too fast. I'm not going to overwhelm you. But you're going to need to put in a good bit of effort and time to keep moving forward. And so I want to be fair and help you. I don't want you to get discouraged. Let me turn over the page here, page 28. I want you to observe something here. We'll just take a moment or two.
What's the answer? You can't see that.
Okay. Now look at your English to Greek. Okay? Now this is what you have to do. In that first one, you'd have to say, all right, I'm kind of running along here. I'm running a little program along here, surveying the sentence. And I'm seeing I'm going to need words of servant, writing, and law. Then I'm going to need to stick them together. So I'm going to say, doulos, graphe, nomen. Writing a law, nomen. Doulos, graphe, nomen. Doulos, nominative. Graphe, third person singular, of right. Law, objective or accusative case, nomen. Okay? Now this is what you need to work on, but I'm just showing you how. Just showing you what you need to do. Number two, the idea of a son and seeing in words. Now it'll get more complicated, even in this little paragraph. Huios blepe logos. Number three, you have brothers are losing servants. Now it helps me when I'm translating to read the English sentence. Deliberately read the English sentence to yourself. And you're kind of breaking it down into the words you're going to need. So you're going to need Autophoi, luousi, doulos. And then sons take gifts. Three words. Huioi, lambanousi, dora. Okay. All right. We'll stop here And what I'm rather you do is just work on the preceding lesson of the verbs and the exercise, making sure you got that down. Read about the nouns and work on learning the endings. If you feel comfortable with doing that, then you can work on the exercises. Yes?
No, but I was telling him
okay.
How long to quit by.
Okay, so we'll call it quits tonight. Yes?
I was just saying you have 1 minute.
Oh, had a minute? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think this will be a good spot. We don't have to, you know, we'll have to go over this again for the people that were missing tonight. And I'm expecting a lot more.
Well, while we're here by the church, we're
going to make a couple of copies. So we're holding that for
it's red. Yeah, it's not very, it's an ear thing, really. The thing there says, if it comes on the end of the third person plural before a word starts with a vowel, but then he tells you, but it by no means inevitably occurs. In fact, it's pretty rare. Okay, so then why mention it? Why worry about that? And then he also says that it sometimes occurs at the end of a word before a consonant. And one of them is leucendulus. Well, a lot of that is the ear. And to say leucendulus, that just doesn't quite sound right to me. So my ear tells me leucendulus is right. So it's kind of an instinct. And again, if you were composing Greek, see, you'd need to know that. But you're going to be reading it. And so it really just doesn't matter that much. And it's something you can kind of pick up. I sure have enjoyed studying with you. And if we can get others coming along in this, it'll really get to be a lot of fun. Well, Megan, we're going to have to teach him at school all about Greek, aren't we?
Now, this is his study. This will not be in the commentary. But this is his study before writing the commentary. Now then, when you get to that point, it's useful. That's why I am here as a stop, because I don't plan to ever get to that point. I'll tell him to learn that and tell me.
So she just asked me.
I think, look this up for me. Tell me the interesting things you learn. Because to me, I don't enjoy languages.
If you have an ear for music, I've found if you have an ear for music, you probably have an ear for language. But now, whether you also have the fun of learning a language, I don't know.